String 11. Librarian. The old steel-furred female met me at the second wall, the one designed to keep their shambling beasts out of the crop field. Four others accompanied her, three females and one male. Nervously they touched hands, as if in search of affirmation, support, but also updating each other on the night's proceedings in the town, across the valley, even from over the mountains. Their touch conveyed news from all around the planet. I knew this, recognized it, desired it. All it took was brief contact, and in a few minutes those microbes that carried news, history, language would push between our fingers and infuse through our blood. The little scouts, the tiny agents, were their equivalent of ancillas. Clever children, these. The old female did not smile, but studied me with a concerned, quizzical expression. "Do you understand me now?" she asked. "Yes, but go slowly," I answered. My lips felt numb, clumsy. "There is still danger. The others fear you have come to punish them." "After so many millions of years?" The word I used referred to their round of 244 days, since there were no seasons and no moon here. "Has it been that long?" she asked. Her companions stayed back, hands extended. Clearance and Chant stood their ground by the seekers. "I'm astonished you remember those times," I said.
"I do not.
Not personally. None of us do separately. But after you arrived, we assembled a quorum. 100 of us held hands. We tried to reach back. Some of that I have passed to you. Pardon me for our methods." "You took a great risk," I said.
"I am old. No loss," she said. "You do not appear old, but you taste very old indeed, if I may judge."
I held out my arm and pulled up the sleeve. "I am thousands of years old," I said. "Do you need another?" She looked aside, then back, brows raised in puzzlement.
"No," she said. "What we suspected has been confirmed. Did it take you so long to travel here, or—"
She could not immediately retrieve the words and concepts. For them, concepts as old as the history they had gathered to reassemble. Her face creased in a frown. "No matter," I said. "We are here, and we do not seek to punish, but to learn more, as much as you can tell us, however you can tell us."
"Shall we bite your friends?" she asked. "We do not actually enjoy it, you know. Only the most ignorant are treated so."
"Not necessary," I said. "I will bite them myself later." The old female smiled and rubbed her elbows in high amusement. She looked toward Clearance and Chant.
"They do look ignorant. So stiff in those shells."
She took my wrist in one greasy hand and gently squeezed it.
"Now that you understand, it's clear what we must do. I feel it inside. There is so much to pass along. Old instructions, old bequests, communications, fuzzy and faded like stick drawings in rain-washed sand. But you will see them well enough. They could make more sense to you than to us."
I could see she felt no privilege or surprise that we had happened upon this place, upon her. A sense that any town on this planet would have one like her, or quickly make one. "What is your name?" I asked.
"Glow of Old Suns," she said.
"That sounds so much like one of our names. I am called the Librarian."
"How came you by that name?"
"It was given to me by my teachers when I was young, because I enjoyed traveling through great stores of knowledge."
"We are all libraries here," Glow said, turning me about, nudging, then walking beside me back to the seekers. "There are other ways the old ones preserved knowledge. I'll show you the place. It is quite a ways from here."
"Shall we carry you there?" I asked.
"Yes."
She waved her hand ahead.
"I hope I can see it and know where to stop from high up. Don't go too fast or too high."
She patted my forearm and stared at the seeker.
Do they frighten you, those things?
The old female sat stiffly in the Seeker's enfolding interior, eyes wide. She quickly grasped the concept of the displays, twisted her head this way and that, following the colors and symbols as they wrapped around us. She gripped my arm as the craft lifted, not where she had bitten me. That had already healed. The pressure seemed to call up more of the information within my blood and flesh. I felt myself coming into a denser appreciation of the way these people saw themselves, and then, like a shallow coloring laid over all that, how they felt about us. They felt an extraordinary guilt. Or rather, somebody, not these people precisely, had once felt guilt, and now it suffused through them all. But generations before, they had numbed it, stored it away in safe cubbyholes rarely acknowledged. Until now. She surveyed the landscape as we rose, then pointed east and said, "That way." Clearance moved the Seeker as instructed, at an altitude of 1,000 meters. The old female never once let go of my arm. Her sense of direction was precise. Perhaps she had climbed the mountains and looked down over a similar view, but I thought it more likely she already knew. Keeper and Chant remained with the other Seeker. Despite my convictions, I still thought it best to keep options in reserve. The power of the old female's bite might be more significant and powerful than I yet understood. Those little agents. What else could they manage? As protectors? Or as persuaders? The old female guided us along a steady curve.
"We're following old field lines, I think," Clearance said. "But there's no longer a magnetic field. Hasn't been for millions of years."
I translated for Glow, but she paid us no mind, merely directed us with her knobby finger. We passed over deep, dry gorges and wide valleys. Long lakes crossed the valleys like the marks of animal claws. Chaotic terrain, thousands of kilometers of it. And now we came to the peculiar feature we had noticed even from low orbit. A broad patch of grayish-yellow had spread over a gorge 4 kilometers deep. A wide, steaming fissure opened along a 2-kilometer stretch. The yellowish coloration was caused by minute bacteria and other organisms feeding on sulfur compounds. The entire valley was filled with a thin haze, not smoke, but dust. Dust from spores, fungus-like organisms. Nothing like the flood, of course, but bearing forerunner genes. Most remarkable.
"That is where we need to go,"
Glow told me. Clearance brought the Seeker around, interpreting the direction of Glow's finger, tracking its quick, precise changes until she lifted it straight up, stared at him with her piercing gray-blue eyes, and said,
"There."
We landed.
"It's here," Glow said. "You walk out there, naked. It. Walk with me, not him. Keep him away. He is not wise."
I conveyed this to Clearance, who tipped his head.
"Not wise at all," he murmured. "But if there's the slightest hint of danger, I'll grab you up so fast."
His expression brooked no disagreement. Glow and I walked out on solid, rocky ground. Our feet pushed up a fine, fine cloud of spores.
"We cannot contain all the memories of our ancestors," the old female said. "We do not want them. We wish to be ourselves with our own memories. And so they are kept here. When we need the past, which is rarely, we come here. We walk this way and we walk back. When we return, we have what they need."
"A biological domain," I said.
I do not know that word,"
the old female said, walking ahead.
"I have only been here once, when I was young, and we had a dispute regarding a matter of law and tradition. The ones who were in power then were shown to be wrong by what we brought back, the memories and traditions we carried. They stepped down and were replaced. No one defies this place or what it holds.
Stripped of all technology, Left to their own ingenuity, the ancient forerunners had created a completely organic and living way to store their histories. "Do you know how far back this memory goes?" I asked, bewildered by the possibilities.
"To the beginning. Days ago we see a light in the sky like a moving star, and it is you. I have a memory."
She turned and held up her hands, then slowly lowered them along with her head and got down on her knees, not before me, but the far cliffs that rose thousands of meters into the dusty skies. The first of us scratched and drew and marked those cliffs with whatever they had available.
Rocks, sticks.
The yellowish dust coated my garments and my skin. Some of it irritated my nose and lungs. I wondered what I would dream tonight or remember in weeks to come. The old female pushed painfully to her feet and walked toward the cliffs, then looked over her shoulder and urged me on. The high rock walls were hung with orange, fibrous growths, like lichen or moss, moving slowly over the smoothly and naturally planed surfaces. Along their course, the mosses clung with rasping roots. Where patches had died and fallen away, they revealed etched symbols, many kilometers of them, arrayed in spirals and whorled radiances. While I now recognized the script, and the methods of reading the symbols seemed familiar, the symbols themselves were still hidden from me and could not be deciphered by my ancilla.
"Those mosses are sisters to us. They travel back and forth from one end of this valley to the other,"
the old female said.
"When wind and dust and rain wipe away what they carve, they slide back and replace it, always with the same memories."
10 million years ago, the forerunners abandoned on this barren world had chosen to store history and memory, not only in blood and flesh, but in these rustling, spreading, rock-climbing growths. "What do they mean?" I asked.
"They tell our stories, and a greater, older story."
She moved closer, 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 examining my face.
"It's coming a little slow in you, but soon..."
And it did arrive, but several days after. I stayed in the valley, squatting on the fine, packed, stone-scattered soil, watching the fiery passage of the sun as it rose and set, tending now and then to functions my armor would once have taken care of, and by this process, I think, coming to better understand the old female. As we waited, I felt a growing warmth in my body and brain as what the old female knew. What had been passed from generation to generation for 10 million years flowered within me. One night, just as dawn cast faint beams over the easternmost wall of rock, I stood, stretched out my sore muscles, and began to walk to the beginning of the valley, several kilometers away. Here I found the seekers, along with Chant and Keeper, who awaited me with looks of concern. Chant approached and checked my health. "Are you well and fit, Lifeshaper?" she asked. "So far," I said. "The old female's knowledge is growing. If it turns into something like a personal imprint, if I start looking and acting as she does..."
"We will be watchful," Keeper said. "What should we do if that happens?"
"Put me back in my armor and reset me. Purge the old female's knowledge."
"That may not be easy, Lifeshaper."
"I know. Let's hope for the best."
The old female had followed me and squatted again at the head of the valley, watching us with her haunted smile. "The script on the canyon walls is looking more familiar," I said. "I'm going to begin over there." I indicated the point where the wall reached its greatest height and the script became uniform and sharply carved.
"The mosses move and write," Keeper said. "But do they change what they write? Do they erase and revise?"
"No," I replied.
"Then this valley holds their entire history."
"Maybe. But part of it, at the far end, consists of something so upsetting to them, so vitally separated, that they task these mosses to record it where they wouldn't have to see."
Chant regarded me with heavy-lidded eyes.
"A crime greater than anything since. Why not let it fade completely?"
but a look at the old female confirmed this would be out of character. Other forerunners might run from their histories, but not these.